Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. The phones are open, and as always, you're invited to join us here. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. As we return to Topless Tuesdays, the weather's getting warm out there here in New Hampshire. In fact,
has been nice.
Yeah, Bonnie and I were actually out at what they call Goose Pond here in Keene today. It's a nice little hour-long
walk. Is that the one
walk over
here?
It's kind of up north from here. It's a nice little hour-long jaunt around what I would call a lake. But apparently it's considered to be a pond. Anyway, with you tonight, it's Ian.
Oh, and all right. I was waiting on Mark for some reason.
And Mark.
Last but not least, Mark's with us again from his remote location in Florida. Let's see here. I had an update, a little bit of good news. Free Talk Live, of course, is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash, a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. We brought to you the shocking news yesterday that Dash's network had frozen after a failed update.
Oh.
They were trying to push in, I guess, some major changes to different node types on the Dash system. I'm not sure exactly what they're introducing. I haven't heard about that yet. But, of course, Dash is known because it has its master nodes in addition to the people that run full nodes on the network. And the master nodes provide certain services, and they get rewards for that. So I guess this is something new that they were trying to add, and it didn't go well. In fact, it split the blockchain, and blocks were not being mined for some number of hours yesterday.
Wow, that's rough, man.
It's the first time.
I assume they got it fixed.
Yep, that's what I was going to announce here today, is that over 80%, as of earlier today, I haven't gotten an update in the last few hours, but earlier today, more than 80% of the masternodes had updated their software to a newer version that fixes the issues that were present, and blocks were continuing to be mined late last night. So everything should be fine as far as if you were holding off. As I said yesterday's show, if you're going to do Dash transaction, you might want to hold off. And so if you've been looking to do your transactions, you're safe to do that. And Mark, you made a great point on this last night. It's like, you know, banks have their websites go down all the time for maintenance for, in many cases, an entire weekend or whatever. So the fact that Dash went down for less than 24 hours once in 9 years isn't too bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, yeah. Plus, it's generally a bad idea if you know there's a major upgrade coming. And if you're using this cryptocurrency, you should stay aware of enough to be aware of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. To just not use that crypto on that particular day. They're not all going to update on the same day. So maybe that day, use Bitcoin Cash or Litecoin or Monero or whatever else instead. And then the next day, when everything is resolved and back to normal, go back to using Dash.
Well, most of the time, this stuff just works.
True.
And the fact that this didn't, it's a really unusual situation. So I'm glad to see that Dash is back at it. I mean, they obviously worked very hard to rectify the situation. And, of course, from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are really great for actually using cryptocurrency. They are irreversible. The network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. And there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. You can send your Dash transactions for less than 1 cent per transaction. Like, most cases, way less than 1 cent per transaction. Last time we were looking at Bitcoin, it had gotten up to like $15 or $5 per transaction.
Jesus
crazy.
Christ.
It's quote-unquote down. Bitcoin's down to like $1 to $2 or $2 per transaction.
That's still crazy. That's still unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I recently had I went to a wedding over this weekend, and I ended up talking to the owner of one of the pizza places. He owns like 12 pizza places. None of them take Bitcoin, right? But he asked me if I was still into cryptocurrency, to which I responded, well, not kind for of. The last... I mean, yeah, I'm into it, but like I can't use
it
right now.
I'm interested in it. I'm following it closely.
So we started talking, and I was surprised by the gripes he has with... He hates the credit card processing system passionately. Like he railed against this thing for a solid 10 minutes, and I assumed it was going to be because of the fees.
I would assume so, too.
But that wasn't his main issue.
Really?
He initially said that the fees weren't even a concern to him. He didn't care about the fees. But as he went on, he did come back to the fees a little bit.
I mean, the customer pays the fees, so there's that.
The big issue with him were the chargebacks. And how if you go to your credit card company and attempt to, you know, undo a transaction, you will always get that transaction undone. Almost always. So they're constantly losing money from a month ago or 2 months ago or whatever.
Customers trying to scam and say, oh, I didn't order that pizza or whatever.
Yeah, or it was fraudulent. You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
But the main reason he likes cryptocurrency is because it prevents that sort of thing from happening. There are no chargebacks in crypto.
It's
Once
final.
You send that payment, it's done. There's no way to undo it. And that appeals to him as someone who sells a product and then has customers try to go back on it. I totally understand that. I would never have expected that to be the primary issue, just because I wouldn't have expected that to be so common.
Yeah, I don't know how common it is. That's a good question. I wonder, you know, what percentage of credit card transactions get charged back.
He didn't say a percentage, but he suggested it was pretty, like, it was
enough to annoy him.
It was common enough that it's affecting the business and the amount of profits the business makes.
But you got to do it because, you know, there's probably a ton of people who want to pay with credit cards.
But he's interested in taking crypto. There's just a lot of red tape involved.
If only there was somebody who was legally allowed to show him how to use crypto.
Yeah, right.
He understands. He may not have ever actually used it, but he understands the concept that is, because he's used Cash App and similar things. He understands the concept of just scanning a QR code and hitting confirm. And that's all you got to do with cryptocurrency. So he understands how it works.
Yeah.
Enough,
well, of course,
to
in this case, he's got to have some sort of a point of sale system.
Right. And that's where his issues come in.
I know AnyPay is still a bit of a bumpy road right now. I know they're working on fixing some of the issues that have been present in the last year, but still, Bonnie can't pay with her Edge wallet on AnyPay right now. So it's still.
That's
still
what
kind of
I've heard, like, ever since, pretty much since the raid in 2021, AnyPay has been really bumpy.
Yeah.
That's
rough. There's not really a lot of other options. But anyway, Dash is, of course, out there, and it's easy to get. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. Super easy to learn about Dash. Just start over at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Actually, I saw one of the programmers for Dash apparently is interested in getting on some podcasts and such. There was a post on social media today that was asking a different podcaster if he wanted to have this guy on as a guest. And I says, we'll take him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently he wants to talk about how to transition away from relying on banks and move into, you know, cryptocurrency. What is
one of my favorite subjects?
Right. What are we missing? What can we do that we're not doing? So he's going to talk to us about that on Saturday night this weekend. We're going to have him on starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So this should be an interesting discussion. The number here, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. And I did pull up the Bitcoin transaction chart here, the median fee, which is...
Yeah, I was curious. I was just thinking that. I was remembering my transaction 2 weeks ago in Bitcoin on the island of Roatan, and how it got jammed up for several days, if not a week.
This was your attempt to send some Bitcoin to the Lightning Network, correct?
Yeah, I don't know if I was successful in that. I sent it to the Samurai wallet, and I think that's a wallet that's intended to be sort of anonymous, not a wallet that's intended to have Lightning. But I had actually made two transactions. The first one was to the shopkeeper for a couple of beverages. And then I decided to put some stuff on, you know, what I thought to be a Lightning wallet, just so I'd be able to spend it in the future, and that got hung up too.
Right, and wasn't your transaction hung up for like a week? Do you recall how long?
I don't know how many days, but it was hung up. Like, a week comes to mind. I'll bet it was, like, at least 5 days.
Jay Noon had one hung for a week in that same time frame. And that was the time frame when the prices were going up. The median fee peaked up at $20 per Bitcoin transaction. This was on May 7th, or it looks like May 8th. And now today it's quote-unquote down to just under $2.
Yeah, but at $20, you've got to be sending at least $2,000 for it to be only 1% of the transaction.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's absolutely insane. Most people aren't out there sending $2,000.
No. So, yeah, Bitcoin isn't useful for a currency. It's just not.
Right. I think that, you know, when I hear the Bitcoin maxis talk, they're passionate, and they I think they've got some good points. I think it's a nice settlement layer. You know, if you want to, you know, make a big transaction, I get using Bitcoin. But if you want to make a day-to-day transaction, there needs to be something else that works. And that something else is certainly Dash. I, in the past, have used Bitcoin Cash to some success. I don't know what the network's like right now. But, you know, there's a few choices, but Dash seems to be chief among them. It's the only one that I know that has privacy to it.
I've made peace with where Bitcoin is going. I used to hate the fact that it's not usable as a currency, but more and more I'm beginning to see it as a sort of digital gold. We have all sorts of other currencies that are usable that we can transfer into Bitcoin if we want, but Bitcoin seems to be the best store of value across cryptocurrencies. And all cryptocurrencies, almost all, if they're listed on an exchange somewhere, they can be transferred into Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency. So in that way, I don't necessarily object to seeing Bitcoin being sort of the reserve currency or the gold standard currency of the internet going forward.
That seems to be what it is.
And that seems to be what it's going to continue doing. So I don't necessarily mind the $20 transaction fees because realistically, you're really not supposed to use it for, as far as I can tell. You're supposed to hodl Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That's how they designed it. That's not how it was originally intended to be, but that's how
that's
they designed it. And
it's basically
works.
Like sending a wire. Except you don't have to jump through all the hoops and beg people to use your own money.
That's true. I don't know what that beeping noise was.
I didn't hear it.
Hopefully it won't come back. The number here is 603-283-6160. I know, Aria, you had a crypto-related story. We'll get to that coming up here in a moment. But there was actually the news that I started the show with last night, and we never even got to it.
Nice.
It's about the FBI getting caught, according to the New York Post, in yet more massive, outrageous FISA abuses. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court.
These are the secret courts to get, like, secret warrants and stuff without going through the normal court system.
If I recall correctly.
And if I remember correctly, the magistrates grant these with, like, a 98% accuracy or something. Like, they don't even care. This is a rubber stamp at this point.
Yeah,
a magistrate is, you know, secret code for cop acting like a judge.
I would accept that.
So, according to the story here,
the magistrate in Ian's case allowed a lie about me to be spoken in open court, and you know, no one seems to care. Never saw hide nor hair of that magistrate again.
Well, you saw how much they lied during the Ross Ulbricht trial. I would not expect them lying about you hanging up or whatever to ever make a dent.
So according to the New York Post, the FBI...
I just thought the court system was all about the truth, right? Like, I thought they cared
about
the
truth. Oh, silly Mark. Why did you think that?
just saying. They like to hang that word justice out in front of their buildings.
The FBI continues to ravage the privacy of vast numbers of Americans, according to the New York Post. For each American the FISA court permitted the FBI to target, the Bureau illicitly surveilled almost 1,000 additional Americans.
Wow.
So we were talking about how the FISA court is a rubber stamp. Well, the FBI said, yeah, too much work to have to go and ask for the rubber stamp. We're just going to go ahead and do whatever we want to do.
Well, that's why they invented these massive spider botnets and stuff that, you know, Edward Snowden revealed to us. Why, it's amazing. I don't know if it's good or bad that the government is so terrible at working with itself, but I'm shocked that the NSA hasn't turned over its tools to the FBI and be like, hey, guys, use this.
That's what I was going to ask you, is that they, you know, the tools that Snowden revealed were NSA tools and probably CIA tools. I don't know what the CIA is doing right now besides being the plot point in some old books. But
that's exactly how they want it.
Yeah, they're probably doing the same old stuff.
I just don't know.
They probably just started a war in Ukraine.
Right, killing people.
They just assassinated some leader. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I'm curious about the FBI's relationship, because they don't, these teams don't seem to get along at all. They don't seem to share.
Yeah, it's very peculiar.
The court's just-revealed ruling signals the FBI presumed any Americans suspected of supporting the January 6, 2021 protests forfeited their constitutional rights.
What do they mean by supporting, first of all? Because I tweeted out support for this thing. I mean, they were already watching me, but assuming they weren't.
They already had all your emails.
Well, I know that. But, like, right. Would that have justified, if they didn't already have access, would that have justified my single tweet?
I don't know. I mean, yes. If they didn't come talk to you about it, then probably not.
Well, okay. But I don't think it went to talk to, 1,000 of these Americans for everyone they got a warrant on. I suspect the vast majority of these were just sort of surveilled digitally.
I haven't been following the January 6th thing closely, so I don't want to go out on a limb on that. But
I'll tell you, they followed you closely regarding January 6th, just trying to tie you in as best they could.
FISA was enacted in 1978 to curb the rampant illegal political spying exposed during the Nixon administration. After the 9/11 attacks, the George W. Bush administration decided the president was entitled to order the National Security Agency to vacuum up Americans' and foreigners' emails and other data without a warrant. Federal judges disagreed, and the result was a 2008 FISA reform that authorized the feds to continue commandeering vast amounts of data.
Yeah, I remember that. The courts were like, no, you can't do this. And they're like, but now you can. It was all very strange.
But under Section 702 of that law, the FBI was permitted to conduct warrantless searches of that stash for Americans' data only to seek foreign intelligence information or evidence of crime.
And that's the thing is that everything, with as small as the world is and the way that information flies around, everything can be considered foreign to some extent. I mean, look around you. What is it? What is actually made in America?
Mm-hmm. Not much. The heavily redacted 2022 opinion that was recently released Friday revealed the FBI conducted 278,000 improper searches of Americans in just the years 2020 and early 2021. 278,000 improper searches.
And remember again how easy it is for them to get a warrant to justify these searches. They didn't do it because no one was going to hold them accountable, because it wasn't going to hurt them, it wasn't going to affect them.
They still won't be held accountable, even with this report coming out.
Yeah. Right. It's the same old saw. If somebody doesn't have to work for something, they don't appreciate it. And if they don't appreciate it, they don't have value for it. And that's what happened here. When the judicial branch said, hey, we want to help you spy on Americans, but you can't do it without our permission, because that's not checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
They basically sent the message to the executive branches, look, we've been your bitch for 200 years, and we'll be your bitch for 200 more, for God's sakes. But you got to at least call us Mrs. Bitch.
Incredibly, the Bureau conducted roughly 3.4 million.
I'm talking to you, federal judges. You're all the bitches of the executive branch.
Incredibly, the Bureau conducted roughly 3.4 million warrantless searches of Americans in 2021 via Section 702.
So wait, they increased it by like a factor of 10? I understand. They did 278,000 between 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? Because it says it was 278,000 improper searches of Americans from 2020 to early 2021, and then in 2021... it was 3.4 million warrantless searches. I presume an improper search and a warrantless search are the same thing?
I would assume so, and they were just trying to avoid repetition?
Yeah, maybe so.
That's absolutely insane. It's not terribly surprising, but, I mean, what happened would be my question in 2021 that the government believed gave them the justification to expand...
January 6th.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The day before
the great big nothing, where some dude in a stupid buffalo outfit stood in the halls of Congress, and that made a bunch of people who respect the halls of Congress very upset.
AOC almost died a half a city away.
I'm sure it was traumatic. I couldn't relate, having actually had loaded weapons pointed at me, I can't imagine how horrible it must have been for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
To see people walking through the the building.
How horrible that must have been to know that someone was in her office without her permission.
So the day before this opinion was released, the FBI or an FBI whistleblower revealed in congressional testimony that FBI headquarters had pressured agents to treat anyone who attended the January 6 protests as a criminal suspect. The FISA court opinion reveals the FBI wrongfully cast a far broader net. Roughly 2,000 protesters supporting Donald Trump at the time, including an unknown number of undercover agents and informants, entered the Capitol that day. But an FBI...
I mean, one of them was like front and center calling for violence. And they had the guy's name, they have pictures of him, and he was
never charged.
He just vanished.
And we know what's going on there.
Yeah, he was so clearly an FBI informant or an FBI agent. And, like, there's been no accountability for that behavior. And there absolutely should be. Like, the FBI caused January the 6th. And even though nothing happened on January 26th, the FBI caused it, and they've since used it to justify this enormous tenfold power grab.
Lots of people have been rounded up. Lots of people have been put in to prison cells over this, by the way.
They've been doing this since 9/11. I mean, basically, it's the same thing. If I remember correctly, every single terrorist the FBI has caught, they had previously funded and helped them plan the event. Now, we don't know how many of these people would have gone through with it, but I can tell you that I feel safe in saying that a good percentage of them, probably even most of them, probably would not have done whatever it is that they're accused of doing had the FBI not nudged them along. In one case, the FBI shot down the job that one of them was trying to get. Now, you know what it's like when you get a new job. Hope springs, right? And who knows what this person's life would have been like had the FBI not called their boss and say, hey, don't hire this guy. We're trying to get him for being a terrorist.
Yeah, I remember that story. That was one of the FBI setups where they were setting somebody up to become a fake terrorist so they could bust somebody and claim that they stopped a terrorist attack.
I don't remember which one it was, but I remember the state Alaska.
Yeah, it was Alaska. One of the 200-plus of these setups that the FBI has conducted in the last two decades. And this was several years ago that it was over 200 that they've done this. An FBI analyst exploited FISA to unjustifiably conduct searches on 23,132 American citizens, quote, to find evidence of possible foreign influence, although the analyst conducting the queries had no indications of that foreign influence, according to the FISA chief judge.
No, they just wanted to be able to say, look, Russia caused January the 6th, so now we have to also expand our war.
The court ruling didn't disclose the standards, if there were any, that the FBI used for its warrantless January 6th searches. Did a Twitter retweet suffice? It gets worse, and we'll tell you about that coming up here in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. I'm sure there will be just so many agents held accountable for this.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Yeah.
USA News update. Negotiations to raise the debt ceiling continue between House Republicans and the White House.
They both reiterated that default is off the table and only way forward is in good faith and toward a bipartisan budget agreement.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden remains hopeful a deal can be reached, but earlier today, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said negotiations are not at all close. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will announce he is running for president tomorrow. According to several reports, DeSantis will launch his bid live on Twitter tomorrow night in a conversation hosted by Elon Musk. Former President Trump's New York criminal case will head to trial next March. It will begin less than 3 weeks after the first Republican presidential primaries. Trump appeared virtually in court today to hear terms of a protective order that bans him from speaking publicly about any evidence in the case. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. Dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. We're talking about the latest spying that, well, is supposed to be illegal, supposed to be not allowed and forbidden for the FBI agents, the federal government thugs, to be performing. But a recently released report from the FISA court.
What's a good term for somebody who can disobey the law with impunity? With the expectation that they will not be held to account. I don't think there is a term for that.
Government agent?
Right. Well, yes, you're exactly right. But, I mean, you're calling them thugs, and I
the king. You know, I mean, like, they're kings, Mark, effectively. I mean, that's a term for them.
The king's men?
No, just the king in general. I mean, the king's men historically had to be accountable, and they could not break the law. And the king, however, was above the law.
They did
in
Braveheart.
Okay, well, generally speaking, not relying on Hollywood for our history here, the soldiers and the knights and the lords were they sort of broke the law in their own territory. But generally speaking, only the king was really above the law. And that was because the king made the law. So if he did something, it was automatically legal, right? And that was just sort of how that functioned. But the people who enacted his orders had to obey his orders at some point, because democracy made everyone into a king, or it made everyone in the government into a king, so to speak. They became freely able to break the law. We'd like the FBI. For an obvious example is that their widespread distribution of child pornography. We know they're doing this. It's a documented fact that the FBI, at least for a few years, was the largest distributor of child pornography on the planet. That is definitively, no question about it, breaking the law. And if distributing child pornography is as bad as they make it out to me, and I don't dispute their arguments, it sounds like it probably leads to some pretty negative stuff, then the FBI is responsible for all of that negative stuff.
There's probably a carve-out, like, for instance, with the wiretapping rules, the wiretapping statutes here in New Hampshire, there's an exemption. If you're a law enforcement officer, you can absolutely engage in wiretapping, and the definition of wiretapping in this case is to monitor a conversation to which you are not a party. Right. And of course, even in New Hampshire, it's even worse. The New Hampshire laws actually prohibit you to even record a conversation to which you are a party, unless all the other parties are aware of it. But the felony wiretapping, it's misdemeanor wiretapping to record a conversation that you are a party to. It is a felony for you to record a conversation to which you are not a party, right? So like the classic example of a wiretap where you're just listening in on somebody else's conversation. For the police to do that, it's completely fine. They've got a carve-out. So they may have a carve-out in federal law that says, well, our cops can distribute
child
pornography.
I'm sure they do, but that doesn't make the situation any better. In fact, it makes it worse. And what is justice if in the pursuit of it, these people are allowed to do horrifically unjust things?
Great question.
Right, and I agree with you, Ari. I also agree with you, Ian. They could very well have their own rules for themselves when it comes to the distribution of child pornography. I have no idea, but what Aria says stands, which is that if the distribution itself of child pornography, I'm not talking about the creation of it, but if the distribution of it. Is as bad as they say it is, and just like Aria, I am not disputing that. I have never distributed it, so I don't care. But if it is that bad, they're doing that. They're victimizing those people all the time. When they Yes. share the child pornography, when they use it as bait, when they do that stuff, from what I can tell, 999 times out of 1,000, they lose the fish off the hook, which means that they've distributed the child pornography and got nothing out of the deal.
Yeah, the reason I don't dispute is because I don't know. I suspect it's probably true that, you know, the market for child pornography causes people to produce more child pornography in order to make money. I sincerely doubt that it has much of an impact. Like, the people making child pornography are doing it for their own sick purposes, and they're just selling it after the fact. But, like, selling it, I suspect, is not the primary point of the child pornography. Just like sexual gratification isn't really the primary point of rape. It's more about overpowering a person. So I suspect the wires are a little bit crossed there. Most people aren't doing it for any sort of financial gain. However, that argument certainly stands. I could totally understand it. I don't dispute it at all. And as you mentioned, it's sort of immaterial to me. My issue with the whole thing is that, like, It's going to happen one way or the other, right? There are these sick people out there who are going to do this sort of thing. The FBI distributing the child pornography is not stopping it. It's not preventing it. It's straight up literally facilitating it by their own arguments. The FBI distributing child pornography facilitates the creation of child pornography.
Look, if the FBI had some kind of child pornography ring that went around... finding people who are distributing child pornography and going and seeking those people out and putting an end to it all in whatever manner they do it. Frankly, if they sent assassination squads into foreign countries, it wouldn't bother me. But the idea that they're just out there distributing it, which they claim is a crime, and that they can do that crime with, and that crime has a victim, and that people are victimized by that action, and then they do it, you know.
And what the people they took to trial.
And Aria, to be clear, the FBI has probably distributed, from what we can tell, distributed child pornography every year for the last 20 years. It's some years they were the largest distributors.
And And the, one of the people they took to trial, and I don't know what their percentage is about catching, you know, child pornographers or people who download child pornography. I have no idea. But one of the people they took to trial on this said, okay, well, I have the right to confront my accuser, so I have the right to know how you identified me as someone downloading child pornography. And the FBI had done this using an exploit in the Tor browser.
Mm-hmm.
And because they refused to give up that exploit, they let the guy go. They dropped all charges against this guy.
That, they did.
That's what they care about, is keeping their
secrecy.
Exploits.
They want secrecy.
Yes.
And
find a new exploit, guys.
Yeah. So this is what we're talking about here, is some of the secrets have been revealed, more secrets, that just came out Friday. In a
the secret is they're violating our secrets, even though we're not distributing child pornography.
Correct. And most people aren't, obviously, but they think they can just go ahead and dig through all your information and do secret searches on you to learn about things that they want to be able to just bring people up on charges for completely victimless crimes, like most of the people who were at January 6th. You know, there was no attack against the Capitol Police. There was no violence on the part of the January 6th people.
Wasn't the only person who died killed by a police officer?
That's correct. A woman was shot to death by a Capitol Police officer.
And she was climbing through a window or something,
I think,
right?
She was just in a stairwell.
Okay. I don't remember now. But I remember, like, no one died except one of the people who, you know, took this unauthorized tour. Because that's what it was. That's all it ever was. It was an unauthorized tour, and they took some unauthorized souvenirs.
So there's more in this report that came out that has revealed that the FBI has conducted illegal searches, purportedly illegal, or just unauthorized, because the odds that any FBI agent's going to be brought up on charges for this is near to zero. But they also exploited the FISA court to target 19,000 donors to a campaign of an unnamed candidate who challenged an incumbent member of Congress. The FBI analyst justified the warrantless searches by claiming, quote, the campaign was a target of foreign influence. Unquote.
Oh, we could probably narrow this down, I would imagine. I can't off the top of my head, obviously, but I suspect the data is out there that this could be narrowed down at least to three or four different political candidates.
He said that, or even the Justice Department concluded that almost all of those searches violated the FISA rules.
So what is the Justice Department going to do about this?
Nothing.
Are they going to bring these people to justice?
Nope.
Because that would be...
They're not even going to fire them.
Yeah,
they're
going to get a warrant. Look, you know, I am convinced. I'm convinced. Now, I have no proof to back this up, but I am convinced that you and Aria's charges, Ian, you're in Aria's charges, are largely based on the fact that Free Talk Live is the only news source, the only audio news source that I know of that is going to do stories like this, and no one cares. Like, no one cares, and nothing's going to happen, but you have, you know, FBI agents that find you to be their favorite little culprit, and they listen.
Well, it was revealed. It was revealed.
Yes, it was revealed.
The whole thing that they raided the studio for, quote, suspicion of child pornography or whatever in 2016, and of course they found nothing. And, you know, 7 years later, like, we want to search it again, even though we found nothing the first time. So anyway, they found nothing, but they did make a note that it was that when they searched one of the computers, they became aware that the show Free Talk Live or some parties in there are interested in cryptocurrency.
They did, yeah.
That
true.
Was there. And that was what set them on this exact trail. So the charges against myself and Ian are direct extensions of the false BS child pornography raid that took place in 2016 that was cooked up and that was retaliation for the fact that Free Talk Live broke the story that the FBI was the largest distributor of child porn on the planet. If that's not political
weaponization... We didn't break that story. We didn't read that story. Yeah,
right.
But we sure pushed it.
Right.
We pushed it like a broke vehicle uphill.
Right. When I say break, I mean, I don't mean that we created the story. I mean, that
I just wanted to
make
it clear.
Who pushed it out there.
I appreciate where you're coming from. I just don't want to make anyone to be confused about the terminology you're using.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've been reportedly violating their own rules, and, of course, they're not going to be held accountable. The FBI also conducted secret searches of the emails and other data of 133 people arrested during the protests after the George Floyd killing. and the Bureau conducted 656 warrantless searches to see if it could find any derogatory information on people it planned to use as informants. The FBI also routinely conducted warrantless searches on, quote, individuals listed in police homicide reports, including victims, next of kin, witnesses, and suspects. Even the Justice Department complained that these searches were improper. And this is only the latest in a long series of FBI FISA scandals.
No, that's a cop-out, man. I complain that they're that they're improper. I have no power to do anything about it. The Justice Department does. They're not limited to just complaining. They can freaking do something.
They could.
They run the prisons, and they're like, guys,
they run
stop breaking the law, guys.
They
I
run
mean,
the
it's,
FBI.
It's ridiculous.
The Justice Department runs the FBI.
Agents in prison, and then they'll stop breaking the law. That's the whole premise of law enforcement, right? And, like, these guys act like they don't understand how it works.
No, the FBI are direct employees of the Justice Department. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like I'm an assistant manager at my job. Right. If I have people there who are doing things they're not supposed to, I literally have all of the authority necessary to bring them in line or fire them.
Right.
The Justice Department not doing that is a monumental failure of the Justice Department.
That's
the Justice Department.
That's part of the fun of being a government bureaucrat is you can break the law and get away with it. In April 2021, the FISA court reported the FBI conducted warrantless searches of the data trove for, quote, domestic terrorism, public corruption and bribery, healthcare fraud, and other targets, including people who notified the FBI of crimes and even repairmen entering FBI offices.
Okay, you people out there reporting crimes to the FBI, stop that. They're the devil. Stop trying to make deals with the devil. You're not going to win brownie points. They're not going to help you get out of a speeding ticket. They're evil. They're going to target you.
Wow.
You're probably one of these 3 million people they searched without a warrant.
Yeah.
No, they're evil.
It says right here, if you sought to report a crime to the FBI, an FBI agent may have illegally surveilled your email.
That's it. Okay, first of all, use ProtonMail. That way it's encrypted, or Tutanota, or one of these other encrypted email services. That way they may have some back doors. I don't know. I'm not saying they don't. But the best you can do is to get off of Yahoo and Gmail and use something that's encrypted.
Even if you merely volunteered for the FBI Citizens Academy program.
I can
program.
Hear Chris Wade going, no, just run your own email server. But, like, dude, that's not
the average person can't do that. Even if you merely volunteered for their Citizens Academy program, the FBI may have illegally tracked all of your online activity. The FISA court treats the FBI like New York City judges treat serial shoplifters.
Now, I'm confused. I'm confused on this. Tracked online activity, does it mean like watch your public Facebook posts and your tweets and stuff? Because
I don't know.
There's no way that's illegal. You're posting that stuff publicly. I can follow you on Facebook and Twitter if I so want to do.
Well, illegally surveilling your email is not just, you know, following somebody on Twitter.
What
I also don't think that the Apple polishers that take the citizens on patrol classes or whatever expect that they are being targeted. In fact, I think they take these classes for that whole purpose, is that just to signal to the police officers, hey, we're on your side. Back to blue, baby.
Mm-hmm. As long as the FBI...
I would love to see, you know, the FBI having a policy, because if you had the hatchet man from ICP or the Juggalo things on the back of your vehicle, mm-hmm. you get profiled by the FBI. Like, that's a documented mm-hmm. fact, and it's mm-hmm. super messed up because these people are just trying to have their own weird little community
right.
where they're not doing anything
they're
bad.
They're considered a gang.
Yeah. However, I would love to see the same thing being done to people with the Back the Blue stickers. And just because the irony of it, like, they support the police. Okay, so let the full force of the police state come down on them.
Give them a taste of what it's like.
Right.
As long as the FBI periodically promises to repent, the FISA court entitles it to continue decimating the Fourth Amendment. Federal intelligence agencies refuse to even estimate how many Americans' private data have been rounded up in government databases. There's no reason to presume the feds have disclosed all of their FISA wrongdoing. Prior to Edward Snowden's leaks, which, by the way, was 10 years ago, it was 2013, the summer of 2013, when Snowden's leaks came out, the feds probably admitted less than 1% of federal surveillance abuses. Section 702 will expire this year unless Congress reauthorizes the provision. But the FBI's perpetual crime wave has created a hornet's nest on Capitol Hill. Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona asked, quote, how much longer must we watch the FBI brazenly spy on Americans before we strip it of its unchecked authority? Well, how exactly are you going to do that?
Okay, guys, you can get an 11-pound tub of tar for $30 on Amazon. I can't imagine feathers are too much more expensive. Right?
You just got on the list.
And, I've been on the list. And look, again, as we're saying, tarring and feathering somebody is not painful. It doesn't have to be painful if you use Coltar. It's just embarrassing, and it makes a statement. And this is an American pastime. It's an American tradition. It should be widely acceptable when the people ruling over you do crap like this. The best thing we can do is not hurt them, but tar and feather them and say, hey, look, we're not going to stand for this. This is how it starts.
Who do you want to tar and feather? The representatives?
The FBI agents and the FISA judges.
Okay. How about we just fire them instead? I mean, just never come back, shut down the agencies, because that's the only thing that's going to actually change anything.
I like that better.
Abolish them entirely. What these...
because it's, I mean, tarring a feather someone, I mean, it's
what these representatives,
sort of an act of aggression, even if it doesn't hurt them.
What these so-called representatives are proposing here is something that cannot be, it cannot accomplish anything, okay, even if it quote unquote happens. So,
Aria, hold on just a second. I want to address tar and feathering as aggression. So, we are told in school regularly, to the point that it may very well be the truth, right, that we are the government. Remember the whole we the people thing?
Yeah, it's garbage.
And if we are the government, we own the land. And we employ the people, we own as serfs all the people on the land, and therefore tarring and feathering our own serfs that have chosen to work for us and have done a terrible job and broken the rules over and over again, I would say falls within the category of non-aggression.
I know, but I'm not a statist, so I can't buy into that mindset and be ideologically consistent.
Okay? If you go to D.C. and you try to take somebody and put them into a bin of tar or pour it on them or whatever without them agreeing to it in advance, they're not going to see that as
But what would be the consequences of that? I almost
probably
would like to
a long time in prison would be my guess. You know, given that they're giving people prison sentences for simply
Despite
touring
the,
through the
there's
house.
Hundreds of years of precedent. That this was socially acceptable, that this was a part of, this was endemic in
tell
the
it
checks
to the jury.
And balances. Okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah. So, anyway, what this Biggs guy says, quote, how much longer must we watch the FBI brazenly spy on Americans before we strip it of its unchecked authority? How do you do that? They're doing things that they're not allowed to do. So, what do you do? Do you just simply say it louder to them? Okay, we really mean it this time. You're not allowed. We caught you. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Again, because we caught you in 2020 doing this, and you escalated it tenfold, and we caught you, I think they said, in 2008 doing this, and you escalated again, so,
You've been very bad,
a wag
FBI.
Of the fingers, not doing it.
Right, we're going to wag two fingers at you this time. I mean, what are they going to do? Just because they pass some stupid stuff on a piece of paper isn't going to stop people who are already willing to violate the quote-unquote law.
Those people aren't violating the quote-unquote law. Those people are doing their jobs. The people who are reporting from the Justice Department that this is happening, those are the outliers. Those are the people that are like, oh, you know, hey, they're not supposed to be doing this. I don't know what I... They want this. This is the Justice Department mad at the Justice Department for doing what it's there for, right? The FBI is an anti-constitutional agency to start with. Shouldn't exist.
That's true.
We are faced with the exact set of circumstances that Thomas Paine wrote about in The Rights of Man, where it's not just one tyrant. It's easy to point at one tyrant like Trump or Obama or some king or King Louis in his particular case and say, look, that's the tyrant. That's the bad guy. That's the one we got to get rid of.
You can identify him. These are faceless bureaucrats.
Yeah, but that's not the way it works. There are 1,000 insolent tyrannies overseeing us, from the FBI to the NSA to
secret.
The local police to the sheriff, and they're all shadowy. They operate in the shadows. Like, this system is fundamentally broken. It's not going to get fixed. The American experiment failed, and the best thing we can do to fix all of it is to abolish the government and live in freedom.
Yeah, but these guys are just talking. Here's another one. Mike Garcia from California declared, we need a pound of flesh. We need to know someone has been fired. Which, of course, is
great.
You know, that's
I'm with him. I just don't believe that it matters.
Yeah,
and I think it's
what they do is, you know, if they're going to fire somebody, they fire an administrator. They fire the top guy. Oh, we'll clean this place up. We're going to fire this top guy and put another one of his underlings in his place. And then that, and then the whole idea is that that's going to somehow clean up the corruption. And it's absolutely
ridiculous.
They should
fire every one of the FBI agents that have ever participated in this, top to bottom.
Yeah, they should.
And then we'll see what happens to the agents.
But you know, and I know, that they won't do that.
We also need a kilogram of flesh, because Americans don't know what that is, so they'll just keep taking flesh until there's none left, because they don't know. So
Jerry
like, is
Nadler.
The pound of flesh was closest to the heart. The pound of flesh was a killing cut. Hmm. Just to be clear.
Jerry Nadler.
Okay, well, then we don't need a pound of flesh.
He's a representative from New York. He's apparently the House Judiciary Committee's ranking Democrat. He also opposes reauthorizing the Section 702 without fundamental reforms. And this, by the way, this article was written by James Bovard, who I believe is a fairly liberty-friendly guy. He says perhaps FISA should be renamed.
I've interviewed him 3 times, Ian.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Just abolish the FISA courts. They're not using it anyway.
Right, yeah, what's the point?
I mean, just streamline the process and let the FBI have completely unchecked authority to survey whoever they want, like the NSA. I mean, this is a no-brainer, people. The FISA court is just a rubber stamp. Get rid of the rubber stamp. It's not necessary. They're going to do what they're going to do. Let them do it.
They're not going to do anything. I mean, anything they do is just simply a show. And it's just going to be another few more years before we find out that they've been violating whatever new rules they put in place. Even if they put in new rules in place, it won't matter, because there's no consequences for these people. He points out that perhaps FISA should be renamed the Trust Me Chumps Surveillance Act. The FISA court has perpetually dismally failed to defend Americans' constitutional rights. Washington, he says, must finally admit that there's no secret doing God's work clause in the Constitution that entitles FBI agents to trample Americans' privacy and liberty. But the reality is, as long as the agency itself exists, they will continue to trample just those things.
I would call it the We Are Protecting Your Privacy Act, because it's the opposite of what they're actually doing.
We got more coming up. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want. Coming up, Coinbase and their suit against the SEC. I think, Aria, you wanted to talk about that tonight. Of course, whatever is on your mind. Mark wants to weigh in on saving AM radio. It's all coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.